This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodl Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, SWIFT spots a new type of gamma ray burst, Nuclear Network spots a meteoric fireball, and launch of a new space telescope. Over the 6.5 years since its launch, the SWIFT satellite has been spotting energetic outbursts all over the sky, but in two papers published in the journal Science on the 8th of July, astronomers report the detection of a completely new type of transient event, whose properties are completely unlike those of any previously observed source. With several detectors on board, SWIFT is designed to spot new objects in the gamma-ray sky and collect information in three different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. When the satellite detects a new event, it realigns itself so that the object is visible to both the X-ray telescope and the ultraviolet and optical telescope, known as XRT and UVOT respectively, and transmits a message to the ground so astronomers can point other telescopes at the same event to gather more information. On average, SWIFT detects about two of these gamma-ray bursts every week, and most are fairly short-lived, lasting only a few seconds. But one, detected on March 28, 2011, turned out to be quite exceptional. Known as GLB 110328A, or SWIFT 1644+57, this source stayed bright in the X-ray for a considerable amount of time, re-triggering SWIFT's Burst Alert Telescope three times over the next 48 hours. Even so-called long-duration gamma-ray bursts fade significantly on timescales of a few minutes, and since long-duration gamma-ray bursts are the result of catastrophic stellar explosions, they do not re-brighten and cause multiple triggers. The burst was observed at the centre of a small star-forming galaxy, located 3.8 billion light-years away in the constellation of Draco, but its peak luminosity was roughly 100 times higher than for known bright active galactic nuclei, suggesting that the cause of this burst could be a rare process involving the galaxy's central black hole. The burst was followed up by ground-based optical, infrared, millimetre and radio telescopes, as well as with the Hubble Space Telescope and the orbiting Chandra X-ray Observatory. According to the authors of the two studies published in Science, the likely cause of this extremely unusual event is that the massive black hole in the centre of the galaxy has pulled apart a star which got too close, ripping the star apart and swallowing it in pieces, sending out two powerful jets of radiation, one of which was pointing right at the Earth. The authors conclude that since this is the first event of its kind that has been observed in the 6.5 years of SWIFT's operation, they must be quite rare occurrences. Small bits of rock and dust enter the Earth's atmosphere every single day, but most are tiny and go completely unnoticed by people on the ground. Larger ones are often seen as meteors by observers under dark skies. At the other end of the scale are the large asteroids and comets, which could cause widespread damage if they got close enough to hit the planet. In between these extremes are rocks which are large enough to make it most of the way through the atmosphere, but small enough that they explode before reaching the ground. Large enough atmospheric explosions can cause physical damage at ground level, as happened in Tunguska in 1908, when a large impactor exploded less than 10 kilometres above Siberia, flattening 80 million trees over an area of 2,150 square kilometres, with an estimated energy of tens of megatons of TNT. Luckily, events on this scale are rare, but there is evidence that explosions in the kiloton range, objects around 10 metres in diameter, happen in the upper atmosphere more than once a year. But with little in the way of reliable records, estimates of the damage caused by objects of different sizes are not well constrained. Writing in the journal Geophysical Research Letters, a team led by Elizabeth Silber from the University of Western Ontario in Canada report the detection of an atmospheric impact over Indonesia using infrasound detectors. The explosion occurred on October 8, 2009, at 10:57 a.m. local time, and was witnessed by people in South Sulawesi, who reported thunder-like sounds and the ground shaking. The team used data from a network of infrasound detectors which pick up very low-frequency sound waves to look for signatures of the event. The detectors are part of the International Monitoring System, a global network operated by the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, set up to detect nuclear explosions. The energies of atmospheric events caused by bolide explosions, such as the Tunguska or Indonesian events, are comparable with those in nuclear explosions, so the network is an ideal instrument for studying the size, energies and frequencies of extraterrestrial impactors. Infrasound describes sound waves of frequencies of 20 Hz or less, waves which can travel very large distances in the atmosphere, making them ideal for studying atmospheric explosions. Using the network, the team found positive detections of the Indonesian event in data from 17 separate stations, one as far away as 17,500 kilometres, which was recorded almost 15 hours after the explosion. Using the data collected from these stations, together with modelling the likely track through the atmosphere, The team estimate the energy of the explosion to be equivalent to roughly 50 kilotons of TNT, corresponding to an object between 6 and 10 meters in diameter. This makes it much smaller than the Tunguska event, which had an estimated energy of 10 to 15 megatons of TNT. Based on records collected to date, objects the size of the Indonesian event are thought to impact the atmosphere on average once every 5 years. The authors point out that, aside from eyewitness reports and a few handheld videos of the dust trail, no other records of the event exist, so information from this network of sensors provides valuable data on the frequency and energies of atmospheric impacts. And finally, July 18th saw the launch of a new space telescope. The Radioastron satellite was launched from the Baikonur Cosmodrome at 2:31 GMT aboard a Zenit rocket. With a diameter of 10 metres, it is the largest space telescope currently in orbit, but rather than collecting optical light as Hubble does, Radioastron, as its name suggests, is a radio telescope. While 10 metres is on the small side for a radio telescope on the Earth, its main use is as part of an array of existing ground-based telescopes using a technique known as interferometry. Since radio waves have much longer wavelengths than ordinary light, radio telescopes have very poor resolution compared to optical telescopes. To overcome this, radio telescopes work together in arrays to synthesize a much larger instrument with far greater resolution. With an operational lifetime of 5 years, the addition of the Radioastron satellite to existing ground-based arrays will enable observations at a resolution of a few milliarcseconds, around a millionth of a degree.